everyone. Welcome to episode number 101 of the MLSC podcast. That's right, we hit the magic 100 last week, and no, we're not giving up on this. We're going to keep doing it every week, whether you like it or not. Although it seems quite a few of you do, and we certainly do enjoy it as well. So here we are. I am Andrew, coming at you on a new microphone this week. I am joined by Ben, also known as Arcane.
Hello, and I'm coming to you on a lousy-ass microphone.
Yes, got a brand new microphone for my 30th birthday from my wonderful friends, pitched in and got me a rather spiffy microphone to fulfill my digital broadcasting duties. So hopefully I'm coming through a little bit clearer in the future, still filling around with all the settings and whatnot. Let's see what kind of an audio engineer I actually am. But yeah, really, really looking forward to bringing you the future podcasts on this microphone and taking it to the next level, because I know Leftos was very upset about that.
Yeah, I saw his comment, and yeah, and definitely after just a few minutes of hearing and testing before we actually started recording, I'm like, yep, next level achieved from Andrew, and now I got to step up my game, so I got to try and find one.
It's a shame that things like this don't actually have like achievements or trophies like we do on the consoles, you know, or Steam achievements. You don't have, when you do something great in real life, it doesn't pop up in real life. You don't get a satisfying little noise.
That's true, but I can always design myself or any other staff members a badge,
little trophy, emblem.
Badge thing. So
one of those meme creators, yeah.
Yep.
But yes, we referred to Leftos, of course, our good friend Leftos, our good friend John, Jiao Ming. Both of them joined us last week for the 100th episode of the podcast. We had what was supposed to be, I think, a 10 or 15 minute chat, ended up being about 50 minutes of an interview. But we had them back on the show to talk a little bit about how they're enjoying working together there at 2K, and to catch up and to give John a send off. And also we spoke to, or I spoke to, Tim Cherner, one of the co-founders of the NLSC, which was really exciting to talk to him, as he was something of a mentor to me in the early days and before I took over the NLSC from him. And to get him back on the show, because he hasn't been, or get him on the show for the first time, because he hasn't been around the site as much in the last decade, I suppose. So yeah, that was really cool. I really enjoyed our doing something a bit special for our big 100.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and yeah, miss it already. Like, just the chemistry with the guys, and it was cool hearing about the, again, I think I mentioned it last week, and, you know, the learning how it all began and all that stuff with Tim and all that, because, yeah, people like myself sort of came in just after his time and all that stuff. So, yeah, it was very interesting podcast.
So definitely we encourage you to go back and check that out when you've got the time. Check out episode number 100, and I might check up the interviews with the guys and Tim on the YouTube channel sometime in the next week or so. If you just want to hear those, we can embed them in the forum, of course. But hey, we certainly want you to listen to the whole show as well. And once again, we did the interview with Sean O'Brien in episode number 99 of the NLSC podcast, as well as our previous chat with him in episode number 90. Leftos, of course, was on us for episode 95 to talk about My GM and My League. Lots of great insight there. Of course, now you can actually play that yourself, since 2K15 is actually out. But if you want some of the inside scoop on that, you can definitely listen to that. And yeah, we look forward to having more great features like that in the future.
Yeah, for sure.
But we do have a show to do this week. I wasn't going to wrap it up just then. You know, that'd be a pretty sorry episode of about 4 or 5 minutes of us reflecting on how awesome the microphone is and how much we enjoyed the last episode. But since the last episode was posted, the next game has come out. NBA Live 15 is now out on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. We have actually got a hookup on a digital copy of NBA Live 15, so we were able to not only break the Australian street date, we were able to play it, I think, before a lot of people in America, too. So I was quite pleased with that, Ben.
Oh, same here. It was very pleasing. In fact, I got to play it before you.
It's true, yeah. For whatever reason, very slow to install for me. You know, I've got a pretty decent connection, but all the same, yeah. So I'm still playing the NBA Finals demo, essentially, that's there while it's waiting to install, and you're actually looking at the full game.
Yeah.
So.
And you started, like, about half hour or so before me.
I did, yeah. I did. That was... That was a bit vexing, but, you know, whatever. It took you a while to get NBA Live 14 last year, so, I mean,
yeah,
that's true. It's only fair that you were able to get the first proper look at it this year.
That's true. And the Daylight Savings thing, so there's my, again, my one-upmanship on that one, I guess, so, yeah.
Well, it depends the way you look at it, I suppose.
Yeah, that's true.
if you're like me and you like to run, you know, having that extra hour of daylight in the evening is quite good after work. But that's another podcast completely, I suppose. The merits of daylight saving, perhaps not the topic for this one. But yes, we have been playing NBA Live 15 for the past week. We were obviously looking forward to the game very much. We had our expectations for it, but at the same time, they were tempered because, again, NBA Live's still got a long road ahead of it, and I would say, as impressed as I am with the game so far, still something to go, but I did want to throw it over to you first and see what your thoughts on the game were to begin with.
Definitely a huge step up from last year. There's no doubt about it. Definitely more momentum and flow in the game compared to last year, where it felt like the players sort of stopped in their tracks too suddenly, and like trying to drive to the basket, you just lost that element of momentum.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that's one thing that's far improved on. The dribbling animations and responsiveness, very smooth. Nice to see a lot of new animations and stuff in there, and generally fairly solid play so far. Still adjusting to a lot of the controls in the sense, like especially with trying to set screens. Coming from playing 2K a lot the last couple of years, obviously, especially the last 2 years with the screen being the O button on the PS3 and PS4 controller.
As opposed to the trigger.
Yeah, and so yep. You accidentally, when you go to in playing live and you intend to do a screen, and you
get an alley-oop, yeah.
Yeah, you accidentally call for the alley-oop yep. pass instead of setting that screen. So that's the, I suppose, I don't want to say negative, but just the sort of adjustment I got to make to playing.
Sure. And so you've been playing Rising Star mostly, just the same way you've been playing My Career mostly in 2K15.
Yeah, but I've actually been playing a fair bit of the sort of play now type games, just the quick game sort of thing, just to sort of change it up and that as well, and played some practice mode. The Dynasty stuff I'll start probably in a few more weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, the same with the 2K, My League and all that stuff. I'll be starting them in a few weeks when, you know, all players are a little bit more adjusted in their ratings and settings and
sure.
If there's any other patches that need to be done or extra content added in, so that way I'm not having to start all over again. But yeah.
So I haven't actually given Rising Star a look yet. I've just mostly been doing big moments, bit of Dynasty, seeing what that's all about this year, and just, again, the exhibition games. So, obviously, Rising Star is not to the depth of My Career, either on last gen or this gen, but I mean, what are you thinking about it, especially compared to last year with you, if you can make any comparisons there?
It's not too bad. It's definitely a light version, so if you don't want to... It's a good substitute if you're not into the whole cutscene sort of thing, or you
yeah.
just want to sort of more just get ahead, play along in the season and sort of stuff. It's not bad.
More of a vanilla experience than the RPG kind of.
Yeah, but
or the non-interactive cutscenes and that kind of
yeah.
the storyline driven that we've talked about so many times before.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, there's still a little bit of depth in there, so it's not so. So flat or empty, I suppose, as of a game mode. But, yeah, there's definitely some things that they can do over the next coming years to sort of keep it going and keep it fresh and make it look...
Face scanning.
Yeah, a bit more livelier and stuff. Yeah, if they do something like that, it'll be good. It's definitely proven very fruitful for 2K, so even with the mixed results with some horror faces and some good ones, so... but yeah, there's definitely still some work to it. Trying to remember.
Agreed.
I was just trying to remember there was. One of the things I do like when you get your SP and all that stuff, and you earn enough that you can update a full skill set, or if you get enough to update partially, so that way you know you sort of. Instead of just the SP just sort of sitting there, you can sort of put it towards and accumulate it over time till you gradually get enough SP to get a full reward in that sense, or to upgrade that skill.
So delaying it rather than spending it on something you don't necessarily want to upgrade at that time.
I was kind of hoping that when you play like a play now type game that you'd earn some SP from that you could import, but you don't. So that was one disappointing thing. That was kind of one thing I was really looking forward to seeing if they did. I can't remember if they did it for Life 14 though, if that was the case.
I must admit I didn't spend a lot of time in Rising Star last year, so
okay.
So I can't recall offhand, but I haven't actually gotten into it this year.
Yep.
Mostly been playing the other modes so far, but
one other positive I do like, I do like the fact that you can set up whatever shoe and whatever accessory type you like, and I'm glad that doesn't cost you SP or VC and all that stuff. So, you know, so you can have the knee braces or the shooting sleeves or calf sleeves and all that stuff, you know, that you can set up from the beginning.
Fewer microtransactions, that kind of thing.
I did get the 10-pack bonus thing for my team. Haven't used, or not my team.
Ultimate team.
Ultimate team, yes. haven't used it yet, but I got some alright players and some alright things. And it was good to be able to, with any duplicates, you know, be able to sell those off or
put them on the auction. Yeah. Definitely a good idea. Both games have done it this year, and
which is good.
Yeah, definitely good. I stuffed up with Ultimate Team actually. I forgot to change my favorite team before I started it, so I started with the Celtics and didn't get the Bulls logo. And 10 packs, and some packs had more than one logo. None of them were the Bulls logo though. So yeah, so that was a bit of a shame. But
unlucky.
Yeah. That's having said that, I've got a team that's almost comprised of gold players now, so
nice.
it's up to a pretty good start, which I can see some people might not like because it takes some of the challenge out of the mode to begin with. But at the same time, how long do you really want to be messing around with really lousy bench warmers and above average role players and taking on those challenges? I mean, exactly. you still have them, so if you want to do the lower challenges that have got the requirements, you can still adjust your lineup accordingly. But yeah, I'd rather have a few decent players to begin with. Not necessarily the ones I want, so you still have to collect, to just the same way as when you, back in the day, collecting basketball cards, you could get some decent cards, but you wouldn't necessarily get the Michael Jordan that I always coveted and things like that. So there's still that aspect to it. But I really like what they've done with Ultimate Team this year.
That's cool. I've got to try it. I've got to do something like that with this year, that's for sure, just to sort of expand game mode horizons and stuff that I've done.
It's fun. It's fun. Both my team and Ultimate Team, I find them to be a good alternative to the usual kind of modes, a bit of a fantasy mode, just almost exhibitions. They're not exhibitions because they do count towards your score, your record for your team. But, yeah, it's just that it's kind of, like a fantasy custom team mode, and it's something a little bit different. So, no, I definitely like that they're there. It's a good change of pace.
That's good.
I mean, I totally agree with you as well as it being a really big improvement on NBA Live 14, which it needed to be. I enjoyed NBA Live 14 for what it was, and I could see the potential in it, but it definitely needed work, and they worked on those key areas, and they made some very pleasing progress, I feel. Still room for improvement, needless to say, and I'm sure they're not going to rest on their laurels. They will be releasing those updates throughout the season. There's already been one content update, which we'll talk about in a little bit, and obviously working on NBA Live 16 as well. For me, being the sim head that I am, I'm... How to put it? In last week's Friday 5, cheap plug, I posted 5 early impressions of the game and said that I would call it sim-oriented, rather than full-blown sim, which, again, as I said in the article, may sound like I'm splitting hairs to some people, but I put it this way, that it's got a lot of sim elements in the way the teams are running the strategy and the player movement and the right players scoring and taking the most shots, but the way that there's still certain areas of the game where it needs the level of realism isn't quite where it needs to be. Still probably too many points in the paint. Layups are pretty much 100%, and layups are high percentage shots, of course, but not quite as high percentage as they are in Live 15. Jump shots could probably be toned down a little bit. It's a little bit too easy to shoot the lights out for three, although it actually allow me to get that trophy for getting consecutive threes, which I never would have thought I'd been able to do because I've always been lousy at shooting threes in, in NBA video games. Even with highly rated players, that's always been a weakness of mine. I think I get too trigger happy with it. But I do like the jump shot timing this year. If it's tweaked a little bit, wouldn't be such a terrible thing, I suppose. We don't have sliders, so it's difficult to address some of the issues, like the blocks, a few too many blocks, definitely a few too many steals. If you get a bit, if you spam that button on the, well, you can't spam it, you will get the reach in foul, but it is, you can get over five steals quite easily in a 12-minute quarter with players, which wouldn't happen that often in real life. So still a few things that need to be tweaked. The responsiveness, definitely a lot better. I still think there's room for improvement there, and hope that they'll be able to do something with the patch, and hopefully in the years to come as well. But what they've done with the locomotion system, it does feel better this year. The animations, still, you know, 2K is still king when it comes to the animations. I don't think anyone would dispute that. But there's some nice ones in the game. You know, they're definitely better than last year. And every so often you can see like a really nice reverse layup or really, really cool looking dunk or crossover. So, you know, definitely credit where it's due for that. And it does play a pretty good game of basketball. It's not quite as sim as I was hoping, and the lack of sliders hurts not being able to tweak that. But yeah, no, I am quite happy with the gameplay out of the box. Well, it's what we've got with the day one content update and what they did on for that update. Yeah, no, I don't feel let down basically, because I knew it wasn't going to overtake 2K15 because that was an unrealistic expectation. I don't know why people say that that's not going to happen and then criticize it for not being able to do the impossible. But we've talked about that before, of course. But yeah, no, I definitely agree. Significant improvement, and yeah, apart from those little quibbles with the gameplay, some of which can hopefully be patched or ultimately fixed in future years, it's on the right track. If at the very least, it seems to be on the right track.
Yeah, that's for sure. I was actually playing just practice mode and that, and just sort of, you know, getting a feel for the game a bit more and sort of seeing some player different. Now, I don't want to get the word tongue to send that, but seeing the differences, that's the word. Sort of see the variance. So I was starring Dwayne Wade first a little while, saw some really nice moves and some ones that were his signature style moves. Then I tried Gerald Green next, and sure enough, he's got the bunny hops. And then third time I was Dante Exum in that, which was really cool, just to sort of
It's solid. It's a very solid game. It's IGN gave it a pretty scathing review, but then I disagreed with their review of 2K15 as well. I thought they were, even with the server issues that 2K has encountered, I thought their review 7.8 for that was too harsh, and the 5.5 for Live, again, too harsh. Not that I put a lot of stock in IGN's ratings these days for anything, to be honest, but yeah, I think it is a very solid game, very much improved across the board. As I said, I've had a look at Dynasty mode as well. Actually kind of surprised with some of the improvements that have been made. The big thing for me at the moment is there appears to be a bit of a nasty bug where the automatic timeouts and substitutions aren't happening. Okay. Even though that setting is definitely on, it's not happening. So, yeah, I played a game against the Knicks, the season opener for the Bulls, and yeah, they didn't sub at all. So their starters played 48 minutes and they never called a timeout, which was a bit problematic for the realism. So hopefully that can be patched. The other day one issue, it seems at least for the PS4 version, that the ESPN halftime show and pregame and everything is glitched, doesn't show after the day one patch. So again, hopefully that can be addressed. But so with that Dynasty bug, it is a bit of a downer to see that. And unfortunately, we can't edit players, so we can't change positions, can't change manually assign jersey numbers. But I also saw a few other things that I quite liked as far as the logic is looking a little bit better as far as making trades, free agency, that kind of thing, simulated stats. And actually something that hasn't really been mentioned but definitely is worth mentioning is that when you propose a trade to a CPU-controlled team and they reject it, they actually give you a reason why. They don't just say, we don't want to make this trade. I tried to get Patty Mills, actually, on the Bulls, and the Spurs turned down the trade. I put together a trade that would work under the cap and everything. And I also made sure that the ratings, actually I was overpaying for the players I was getting as far as the ratings were concerned, but they shot me back a message that said, as a strong contender, we're avoiding trades that impact the balance of our starting lineup. This offer wouldn't be good for us and we can't accept it. So again, in years past, it basically would just say, no, we're not interested in your offer.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't know. Whereas, and I haven't seen that, have not seen that since NBA Live 2000. When it's turning down the trades from the CPU, so that is fantastic to see.
That's really cool, that would suit the Spurs, terms of their response.
It's not only logical that they're turning it down, but actually giving you that feedback is very, that's very useful for you as a virtual GM, so to speak. So yeah, no, I was really really pleased to see little touches like that, and hope that with next year, knowing that the game modes are going to be more of a priority. As for our chats with Sean O'Brien, obviously they've got the framework there and some really and the better logic and everything. So yeah, I hope we see more of that in the future and the return of things like being able to manually assign the jersey numbers, little touches like that, of course, and the depth that we saw in not only my GM and my league, but also even association in the last years in the previous generation of 2K. But yeah, Dynasty mode is better than I expected, to be honest, and. Combined with the gameplay and definitely liking the big moments challenges with the hotspots, that certainly changes things up. And hey, you can see some different challenges this year. They actually had a few challenges from last season, just as an example, out of the box before the current season started. And there was one, the Clippers versus the Warriors, where you had to go on the 10-0 run with the Warriors.
Yep.
You know, it wasn't just hit a final score or beat them or anything. You actually had to replicate the 10-0 run, so that was something a little bit different. We did more variety there, so
that's good. And yeah, especially in terms of the length of the situation, and that, you know, it's like instead of playing a blackjack, or you know, it's more like a poker where it's a little bit more a little bit longer and all that stuff. So you sort of, instead of just potentially losing money in a matter of seconds.
Yeah, I mean, they've still got the game winners and everything, yep. And actually they've got a really cool one with where you got to rewrite history, got to hit the three with Serge Ibaka and then win the game in overtime. So, or did that actually happen? I can't remember. I haven't been following the Thunder too closely. I have to double check that. But yeah, I mean, that's a pretty involved challenge, a two-step challenge in big moments. So yeah, it's actually I'm quite impressed with what they've done as far as adding stuff to keep you playing, and obviously that'll deliver fresh content throughout the season. So, yeah, as I said, it's a really solid game. I don't know what I'd give it out of 10, especially since I'm still, you know, it's still early days. It's only been a week of having the game. I don't like giving games a score out of 10 anyway. I think it's, as we've discussed before, with a yearly release, you're kind of going to give yourself room to, you know, just in case next year is better and they fix up problems in the current one. So it's kind of... Yeah, and it's, you know, what is a 7.1 as opposed to a 7.2 and all that stuff. But it's, anyone on the fence, I would definitely recommend getting the demo and seeing how you like it. But I would have to agree with what a lot of people are saying, that there are very noticeable improvements, big step up from last year, and on the right track for the future.
Yeah, I've definitely been playing it more than I had, even with the short period of time that I had Live 14, and I've probably already doubled the amount of time that I've played it.
There you go. So, have you managed to do a putback yet? Because I had forgotten that those were actually manual issue. You can't choose whether you want to tip or putback dunk, but you can actually, that's contextual, but you can actually manually trigger the putback attempt.
I think I did. I'm pretty sure.
I keep forgetting about it. I need to do it because I've seen some really nice putback dunks in the live stream that they had just before release. I saw a couple of nice putbacks, so I want to see if I can trigger that.
I think I did myself. When I was playing a game with the Blazers, and I think Robin Lopez did, from memory. Don't quote me on it. I'm not 100%. I can't, because I know it did happen, but I'm trying to remember which game it happened in. I'd say I'm about 50-50 on being certain on that it has happened. So,
I feel I'll be playing NBA Live 15 throughout the year, alongside 2K15, of course.
Yep.
You know, I think they've both got they've got something that will keep my interest. I might end up doing my league over Dynasty, depends, or I might want a more simplified. I'll try Dynasty on the side, but my league obviously a lot deeper. and certainly has some ideas that I'd like to see Dynasty borrow in future years. But then NBA Live's got the big modes, the big moments and everything. So, and being that we've both got the digital version of Live 15 and the disc version of 2K15, quite easy to swap for the PS4.
Yeah, so, I was doing that was it the other day. I was just switching between the two, and that, you know, after a couple of games, I think I played two or three games of Live 15, and then just did vary it up. I played a game of, two games of 2K15, and that just before. I think I even switched it up again and then played The Last of Us multiplayer, and that was just a whole gaming evening, that one. So yeah, that was a good day.
Yeah, and it's good to have those games that we can feel that even if one is superior, and I would still say that 2K15 is a superior game at this point, which I don't think surprised anyone because they were in a better position and didn't have as much catching up to do. But to actually have two viable games that are enjoyable and that have different points that you might want to spend time in, different modes and whatnot, yeah, that's what we've seen saying. That's what we want, and that's getting to that point where we're getting two good games, a really good game, and a game that's quite solid and on the rise. There are the bugs that I referred to before, and hopefully they can be patched and everything, because a couple of them, especially that Dynasty one, is definitely a bit of a killer as far as really enjoy getting into that mode and being the sim geek that I am. but yeah, I can see myself playing both games and enjoying them this year, and I'm really happy because last year I did have that initial disappointment with both games for reasons that I've talked about before, and to feel so positive about the future of basketball gaming and enjoying both games as much as I have in the first month or a week of having them, the month of 2K and a week of Live. Yeah, no, to have that initial impressions being so positive and looking forward to a year of gaming. Yeah, I'm certainly happy that it turned out that way.
For sure. One thing I think the X button passing is still, I think, better in Live at the moment. I know 2K had gone about making some improvements to it, but I don't know.
I'll tell you, freestyle passing is better than anything. That's as far as whipping it around the perimeter for an open shot. That freestyle pass, you can just...
I'll just use that comparison because I have had my issues in the previous years with just that X pushing that X button on the PS3 or PS4 button. I still think 2K still need to figure out a couple of things about that. Like where the intended pass, where you want it to go, and how you want to deliver it. Still not as trustworthy in that sense. So, in a lot of game modes, like whether we play now or in my career, I'm still finding it hard to trust to pass it to a teammate in that, just because fear of the turnover and then leading to a opposition fast break and that. So,
they've got stick passing in 2K as well. Have you tried that?
Which button do you use to help trigger that?
Is that it's a modifier, isn't it?
Yeah, I do try and use some form of it, but I still don't feel it's... I know.
I must admit I'm drawing a blank. I should probably grab the... I haven't played that in a few days.
I know the modify button helps with like a bounce pass and that, but I think bounce passing was better last year than this year.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that's something that I missed from Live. Live doesn't have the manual bounce pass this year, or floaters or bank shots, so I'm hoping they can patch them in.
True.
But any other impressions of Live 15 after a week? Obviously, as with 2K, we'll be talking about it in the weeks to come but as we discover more. But any other initial impressions? I think I've covered pretty much everything that I wanted to say off the bat that I haven't already written down at any rate.
Just trying to think. Just having a look, like, just some little fun moments in it where, you know, I'm not abusing the TV as much, which is great.
When you actually, even if you're losing, you think, well, this is because I'm playing crap kind of thing.
Yeah, I know one pass I made in Live 15, I know that one was my fault, and so I wasn't having the reaction like I was with DK in 15 or 14 or 13 and that, so... I knew where I'd made that pass, and because I intended that pass, but just didn't execute well. So, just having some fun with it. Yes, it's different and not quite as smooth in a lot of ways, but
Well, polish is needed.
Yeah, but you're getting some wow moments. There was an instance where I got a replay of Westbrook's dunk, and I wanted to, in that replay, it took a little while because I was getting different camera angles of it, but I really wanted to get like the perspective from the crowd reaction in that, so switched it out to a full sort of thing where you could basically see the entire crowd in the arena.
Some of the dunk on animations are quite satisfying when you actually dunk on someone.
Yeah, and you know, with Westbrook's sort of attacking style and that, you know, you can achieve that a lot fairly well and fairly easy and that. And yeah, it was just really cool just feeling that atmosphere when you zoomed out and then just seeing the crowd go up as one kind of thing. I'll have to do that with 2K and see if we can do the same sort of feel. But the atmosphere in the game is phenomenal. Like, you can really feel it, which is great. But that's something that Live's done really well since, like, Live 10 in particular.
When they had the different settings, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's there's a lot of good... And the PA announcers, they actually have a lot of content that you actually hear them say and all that, which is nice.
I was talking about if our team wins and gets over 100, everybody gets free pizza.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you hear that every game and it kind of loses its impact after a while, but it does add to the atmosphere, you know, because it is something you'd hear in the stadium. So.
Yeah.
And I think they got a new PA announcer this year.
Yeah, he sounds a little different. Must admit, so far enjoyed it. The PA's voice in that definitely adds life to the game, that's for sure.
So, I mean, to sum it up, I'd say that it's, you know, it's made a very positive impression on me. There is still definitely work to be done. I'm sure that I'll notice things that annoy me in the weeks to come, as well as things that I really like, and we'll continue to compile bug lists in the forum and post our impressions. Certainly, if you're playing NBA Live 15, we encourage you to share your impressions and any bug reports as well, because the developers are keeping tabs on that stuff. We are sending information through to them as well, so any constructive feedback is definitely will help any patches that are developed, as well as the future of the game. So, yeah, and I'm feeling pretty good about the game this year, as well as the future of the series. So, it is a really pleasing improvement on Live 14, which it needed to be, and if nothing else, it's really come a long way. Still a long way to go, but has come a long way from last year. So, yeah, you've got to give them some credit for that, because that's, yeah. I think a lot of people were talking about, you know, is this going to be it for Live, and, you know, will the NBA pull a plug, or will EA pull a plug or anything, but they sound like they want to... Keep doing it, and they've got the vision they want to fulfill. Sean O'Brien said that to us on our podcast. He also appeared on the Operation Sports Press Row podcast last week and reiterated those sentiments. So they're not going anywhere, and it seems like they, if they can make this much improvement within the space of 1 year, yeah, some good things ahead.
Yeah, for sure. Really looking forward to seeing what happens with Live 16, like with in particular the depth of the modes that, you know,
and having fixed up some of these major problems from 14, having made so much progress there, not having to make as much progress to 16, and being able to focus on these other areas, yeah, I agree. But they actually have, as I said, pushed through the first content updates for the game, which have included new scan heads for Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah, Kawhi Leonard, and Carmelo Anthony, some new jerseys, new jersey icons. They've updated some accessory colors. They've actually even updated some catch animations on inbounds passes, up and under layup animations, the pull the chair post move. So some of the content updates we're getting this year, it looks like that the game can evolve a significant amount with the animations they can push through and everything. So any quibbles that we do have at the game this early on in the first week, in a couple of months, may not be so much of an issue.
Yeah, and again, if the community gives feedback in a non-trolling tone, hopefully, you know, we...
To our benefit, yeah. But it's, it's definitely good to see that the depth of that first update was quite a few things. Since then, they've just been working on the synergy data, of course, but, yeah, it would appear that more updates are in the works, and, of course, anything that they develop will also be utilized for Live 16, so it's not like the time's going to go to waste.
Exactly.
In what we know is a very brutal development cycle. But I guess that's pretty much all for Live 15 this week.
Yep.
We will definitely have more impressions for you in the future after we've had even more time playing the game. And once again, feel free to share your impressions in the comments sections on our various articles about NBA Live 15, as well as in the NBA Live 15 section of the forum. But turning our attention to NBA 2K15, That's been out, as I said, for just about a month, a couple of days shy of a month now. If my memory and maths is serving me correctly, they've also been going really hard with the daily updates. And I know Mike Beardwoods Roy is doing some great work with the rosters. In fact, there's a daily update checklist that's been posted over on the official Facebook page where you can see all the kind of all the work that's been going into the daily updates, which have been criticized in years past, but this year they're really going for some authenticity, Ben. They're updating, already they've updated contracts for players who've signed extensions. They've been updated various ratings, and they've actually a listing of all the different ratings that have been updated, so it's not just, you know, overall plus one, overall minus two. They're actually talking about individual ratings as well. As they say, I haven't actually double-checked this yet, but apparently the rosters are 100% accurate. Any player who's on a roster is currently in the game, supposedly, which is definitely a big improvement on previous years.
Yep.
Their injuries are being kept up to date, and the starting lineups are accurate as of the day before. So definitely going above and beyond in their daily updates.
Yeah, that's for sure. And really looking forward to seeing further updates in the coming weeks when they're obviously going to add more sort of future content, which actually they did today.
Couple of shoes, wasn't it?
Yep, and Ultimate Team Challenge. Team Challenge, sorry.
My Team Challenge.
Yeah, I got to switch around for both teams now. So evened up the balance, there's the karma right there. So
So like live with Ultimate Team and everything, pushing through My Team content and other such content to keep the game fresh. So that's definitely good to see them going for their authenticity with the updates and pushing through their new content. As far as the official patches, the fixes, no ETA on when the next one is going to come through. Some people are still having some issues with the PC version, even after the second patch, or the second patch has caused some issues that were resolved in the first one. So once again, check out the sticky threads in the NBA 2K15 section of the forum, because Leftos has once again been going above and beyond in helping people out with that, with information and responding to their questions. Again, no ETA on next patch, which will resolve some gameplay issues and other technical issues. But as soon as we get any kind of information, we'll be sure to post it. And Leftos, again, will pass along any information in the forum whenever he's able to. At the moment, again, nothing to say. I've been lucky with the PC version. I mean, it's apart from the fact that I don't have a PC that's good enough to run it maxed out. I haven't had any crashes or even any server issues, so I've been one of the lucky ones so far, it seems. So yeah, but I haven't played 2K15 as much over the past week. I've been spending my time checking out Live 15 to get my impressions on that and give feedback to EA, of course. But I have enjoyed my time with 2K15 this year. The biggest thing that I'm really liking is the balance in the game. It doesn't feel like, and there's a bit of a debate going on in the forum at the moment, I don't feel like you get screwed over as much in the game this year, that if you can ride the momentum and counteract the momentum a lot better, I feel, with smart play, whereas last year, if the CPU got on a roll, you were kind of screwed at times. I felt, anyway. That was at least the modes that I play. Again, you played My Career mostly last year, so I guess you had a bit of a different experience to what I was playing. But you, as you said, you have been alternating between Live 15 and 2K15 over the past week or so. Playing more My Career?
I think I didn't play 2K for about 2 or 3 days because I was switching up and playing a bit of Live and then other games as well. And started playing the other day again, and there's definitely a lot of good. I do see a couple of balance issues in 2K15 in My Career. There'll be some horrible periods where you and your team go absolutely cold. Missing basic layups and stuff like that. So that's a little frustrating when you get that little phase, and that can sometimes go for an entire quarter where you're just missing any shot and any attempt and that. So that's when you yell and try not to get a technical with the PlayStation camera.
I unplug mine, actually, so that wouldn't happen.
I keep mine in, so a good challenge to sort of...
I'll keep you cool. Well,
Does that mean I get an extra badge with the... How you earn those badges?
Oh, the cool-headedness. Yeah.
Able to keep you cool. So yeah, no, yeah, with my career, that there's still just that, yeah, that sort of imbalance. The passing little bit still, I feel's not great. A lot of the team AI has definitely improved from last year, where I had those gripes where it felt like the IQ, players' IQ were dumbed down a bit for the AI players and that. Overall, the game mode's more fun in terms of content and the amount of in it. You know, not just the cutscene stuff, but, you know, how you can interact with other players or your manager or and that off the field, or off the court, I should say, with the social media aspect and all that stuff.
Actually being able to respond to people this time.
Yeah. But then also, what was I thinking? Oh, the extra endorsements and all that stuff that you can earn. You know, there feels like there's some more depth in terms of that. It doesn't feel so empty, or doesn't seem as like, you know, you have to win 6 out of 10 games kind of thing at the moment. So yeah, there's some good stuff in there, that's for sure. Then you have the little commentary, or the little scenarios with the press and all that stuff when they try and have a go at you. The moment when you sort of become a starter, there's one guy that has a go at you, and you're just like, really? So yeah, there's some interesting things like that. Occasionally when you're selecting your options, you know, you're reading the title and they go, yeah, that sounds like a good option, you know, from the few words that it says, and then it turns out,
oh, it's the arrogant option or something.
Yeah, and
you're
like damn it. Even though it's most likely 9 out of 10 times the top option is going to be the nicer one, sometimes what they're appealing, it's more appealing what they say from the few little words that they say when you make your selection. It's like, yeah, that sounds about right. And then it's completely different in what you'd say. It's like, no, damn it, now you feel like a jackass.
Well, you know, your my player is a bit of a tool, the character they've given him this year. So
yeah,
it kind of fits, I suppose, that he at least have a few occasional jerk-ass outbursts, rather. So, yeah, I haven't really got into it. I still need to scan my face properly. The first attempt I had didn't turn out so well. I was trying to do it with not a lot of light, and it ended up looking, I had some red gashes down my face, looked like I'd gone around with Wolverine or something. didn't exactly turn out so well, so I need to give that another shot. But since I bought the camera, I might as well do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have kept it unplugged, so if I do mutter under my breath, I don't have to. I can be a little louder. I won't get that technical on the bench.
Just as long as there's sort of ways to sort of get around with the technical stuff. Just sort of how you, the words that you sort of say before and after, and you sort of, if you just sort of mutter it in that sense, and you can sort of get away with it. You might just get the sort of unrecognized command.
Yeah, I was going to say unrecognized command. Yeah.
So yeah, there are little ways without getting that tech and all that stuff. Having fun with the play now sort of modes. Unstoppable teams like that I like playing with. Golden State Warriors, Portland Trailblazers, and Miami. They're probably the three teams that I play with most in a play now mode.
Mm-hmm.
With the Hornets and that's who I'm playing with in my career. And just about finished my first regular season. Not 100% sure if the team's going to make the playoffs, so you're going to decide if I'm going to say. There is Tweetgate though in the micro mode, so that's a spoiler. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure if everyone's gonna have that experience. So again, feedback in the forums. Let us know if you have that Tweetgate sort of situation in that.
Yeah, definitely. As we said, the forums are there to discuss, you know, not just problems with the game or constructive feedback for the developers or even patching. Of course, modding is a big part of our community.
Yeah.
Or has been in years past. But yeah, anything about the game that you're enjoying or whatever. We certainly have a lot of passionate gamers talking about the game at the moment. As I said, the game balance is something that's come up recently. But if you're playing My Career, definitely. Remember, we do have the spoiler tag.
Yeah.
If you really want to just throw in bracket, spoiler bracket, and you can... but, you know, who can resist clicking on the spoiler? That's the ultimate tease, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's like clickbait.
It is, absolutely.
And, for me, it's like, I really want to see sort of how much is, like, how we talked with, like, my career last year, how much felt sort of already predetermined, you know, not a unique storyline. So I want to sort of see, if it's similar.
Who's hitting the same points at the same time in the season, everyone kind of having the similar experience kind of thing, yeah.
Apparently there's going to be a little bit in the first season, and then obviously in the second season when Doc Rivers comes in, that's apparently the end of the whole predetermined stuff from what LD2K said in one of the videos from memory. So yeah, I just want to sort of see those little sort of things, who's hitting those little marks and all that stuff, and at what point in the season, or if there's enough variation, like a couple of different scenario kind of things, so not everyone's having the total same experience that first year. So yeah.
And if you actually, interesting to note, last weekend we posted this on the main page, of course, but from Thursday through to Sunday, if you're on PC and wanted to have a free look at the PC version of NBA 2K15 on Steam, it was free to play on Steam all through the weekend. So if you care to download the 40 gigs or so of game to install, you could see if it would actually work. And I actually saw someone in the forum mention that they did give it a try, being that it was free, and found that their computer could actually handle it. So they went ahead and bought it. So things like that, definitely a good idea. Much the same way that EA has done that, the free trial and the demo for NBA Live 15. Yeah, anything like that, definitely a good idea to, especially with the PC version, with some of the teething problems it's had.
I should have actually tried that. I should have seen if my PC or my laptop could have supported it.
Yeah, should have given it a go. Apparently, yeah, a lot of people, at least a few people, gave it a go, and one person did comment that it worked fine for them, so they went ahead and bought it. So
yeah,
I'm sure they'll do it again at some point, or they'll at least put it, they'll reduce it.
Yeah.
For anyone who's wondering, at the moment we are still working on the file formats. Nesha, I said your name wrong in the previous podcast. Doing some great work. He's currently got to take some time off for real life, basically, but he has posted also some source code in the forum if anybody wants to continue his work in the meantime. And Greg K. Waste is also doing some work on that as well, and putting out some beta tools and improving the texture import export, etc. Still a while off. At the moment, the roster files are encrypted. The only way to share those is online through the online sharing. In the in-game online sharing, that is, we can't upload the files from the save folder as we could in years past. Haven't found a workaround for that. We did think we'd found one, but it turns out the person who developed that was using a pirated copy, so kind of not applicable to anything that we're going to discuss in our community. It might be something they can patch out. We've certainly put that idea through to 2K, and Leftos is aware of it and passed it on for as much as he can, but he obviously can't promise us anything in that regard. We're not sure what's happening with that, but whether in future years, whether it's going to be a 2K16 deal, or whether they can possibly patch out the encryption or something on the PC version, I'm not sure. We actually did get a PC. We have a PC exclusive patch has come through, so it's not beyond the realm of possibility that we'll get something that the consoles don't have, because we already have, as far as technical fixes go. But as far as the modding goes, yeah, it hasn't taken off yet, and as soon as we found out that it was the file formats were different after it was a port from the PS4 X1 version, we figured it might take some time. Actually, Vlad is back in the forum. He's also looking to put out a new version of Redditor, although, again, with the roster encryption, probably not going to have any external manipulation of rosters, but at least we can do custom textures. So we will see how that goes, and we'll keep everyone updated. But anything else on 2K15, Ben? I haven't played as much over the past week, been spending the time with Live. But as I said, really enjoying the game so far. Feel very positive about both games and the future of them. So it should be a good year of basketball gaming between the two of them.
Yeah, I think both games had some definite improvements over last year, and that's well done to both teams.
Absolutely, absolutely. But the other thing that's tipped off in the past week, having basically said all we have to say about the video games this week, the real NBA has tipped off, of course, October 28th, the same day that NBA Live 15 came out, of course. And it's been a week or so in the NBA, and some interesting results and interesting happenings so far in the league. Derrick Rose is injured again, would you believe it? fortunately, not too badly this time. He's day-to-day and just taking it easy with a sprained ankle, came down on Kyrie Irving's foot, or was it Wade's foot, in the Cavs game. Either way, I was watching it on League Pass, and, yeah, the United Center crowd just let out a collective groan, as did I when I saw it. But apparently he's not too bad. He is expected back very soon. Bulls are 3-1. Very pleased with the way the rookies, Mirotić and McDermott are playing. They're showing a lot of promise. They had some good moments against the Magic again. Watch that game today from when we're recording this. And your Heat are doing pretty good too, Ben.
Yeah, we had our first loss today, though. But you know, that was, again, Houston are very solid this year. So, and, you know, our team, well, my Heat team, is obviously just adjusting in that with its new roster, whereas most of the Rockets have been together at least one season already, just one or two changes here or there. But so not as much drastic changes. But
Bosch is playing well.
Yeah, and even Wade's been playing well. Pretty consistent in that, so that's been good. Hopefully he plays the full 82 games like he hopes to. But yeah, it's interesting season for our teams because both are doing very well, even despite any little early concerns in that.
Yeah, we're not really heartbroken about that, are we?
No.
not at all. The could be worse. Could be the Cavs are off to a bit of a sluggish start.
Yeah, it's been interesting in the Cavs so far. You mentioned to me earlier today when we were watching the games.
We did. We watched the Cavs Blazers game that was on earlier today.
That you know, LeBron's averaging more turnovers than assists this year.
So far, yeah.
And his shooting percentage in that is a lot lower than last season.
Yeah, 42%, at least coming into the game, as opposed, and it's only been through three games, so admittedly,
yeah.
You know, it's not like he's halfway through the season and shooting badly.
Yeah.
You know, a rough start can happen, and when you've only had it's a very small sampling, but even so, I mean, the last couple of years he's burst out of the gate with the Heat shooting those amazing percentages for a forward. So, yeah, it's definitely, he's adjusting to his new teammates, I suppose, and they're adjusting to him. He had 11 points, none in the second half. He wasn't getting the touches that they...
No.
Yeah, very sort of out of sync offensively, the Cavs, and they were kind of hanging around for a bit, and then, as you said, Lillard hit a dagger on them to put them up by 10, and that kind of really just took all the wind out of the Cavs' sails, and from then on it was just pretty much all Blazers.
Yeah, Aldridge has been solid this year. Not rebounding as much so far in the first four games. I think he's had one double-digit rebounding game. But they're making him more of a shooter anyway, so he's not in as much. And I guess they got Rollo and Kamen in there to sort of take over the rebounding aspect, and probably even Robinson as well, I think it is, or Robson, or whatever his name is.
Thomas Robinson, yep.
Yep. So, but yeah, even Lillard's been a little bit quiet the first couple of games that I've seen. Not his usual self, but... I think he's starting to get there now. I think today's game was his wake up to the season and all that stuff.
At the other end of the spectrum, Kyrie Irving had a terrible game.
Yeah, 3 from 17. And just, yeah, a lot of really weird, like, just amateur turnovers and stuff like that.
You get a bit silly with the passes.
Yeah, but that was the whole team. It was just so...
out of sync.
Yeah, they just weren't awake or just... not in it today, so it was,
It's funny, just as we said NBA Live 15 was a lot better than NBA Live 14, so too did the NBA Live 15 cover player really outplay the NBA Live 14 cover player in today's game. Yeah, I think it'll, in time...
Yeah, they're definitely going to take time. It's like Miami's first year together, you know.
I was going to say, yeah, no, yeah.
Unreal expectations to think they're going to win it all in their first season together. Second season together, they'll have obviously a better chance, and they've got a new coach this year, don't they? So,
David Blatt from the EuroLeague, yes.
Yeah. So you know, this is a whole, you know, you just so far there's all new bits thrown together, and trying to put it in a stew or make something out of it. It's going to take time.
Absolutely, it's just that when you have a player of LeBron's caliber,
yeah.
the expectations are naturally going to be there straight away.
Yeah.
So yeah. But it is a bit of a sluggish start for them, but I imagine they will pick it up as the season goes on. They did beat the Bulls, as I said, although Rose didn't play the last quarter and overtime of that game because of his tweaking his ankle, which has kept him out of the last two games. Butler is back. Butler is shooting an obscene amount of free throws. he's even making a few of them. It was a rough game against the Magic. as far as the free throws are concerned. But yeah, we'll see how it goes with the Cavs. I do imagine that sooner rather than later, that when they start clicking, firing all cylinders, they could be a very tough team to stop in the East. Speaking of teams that haven't, they're probably not going to be in the title contention when it's all said and done. The Lakers have had their worst start since long before we were born.
Yep,
they're 0-5 since for the first time since the 58 season when they were still in Minneapolis. When the Lakers' name actually meant something. Not every game has been a blowout. They've had, in fact, they've been quite competitive up to a point in some of the games. The Warriors, they were hanging around with them before the Warriors just shot the lights out behind Klay Thompson. I was watching the Lakers-Suns game today. Suns did eke it out ultimately. Kobe had 39 points on 37 shots. And that was 14 of 37 shooting. He's shooting about 40% on the season, 30% from downtown, 75% from the free throw line. And, in some ways he's looking like his old self, and in other ways he really seems to have lost a step.
Yeah, well, let's not forget today he played 44 and a quarter minutes, so that's a lot of time. And if he's expected to play that for a full 82-game season and take...
It's going to break down, yeah.
And take that many shots a game, he's going to hit the wall so hard. It will be that freight train hitting that wall. So,
my prediction, and I said this to you and posted it in the forum as well, is that he's basically going to be frantically gunning his way up the all-time scoring leaders this year for the regular season.
Yeah,
and which means he's going to pass Jordan. I've made my peace with that because I can still say that he's done it in considerably more games than Jordan did it.
Yeah,
and he's probably not going to come close to Jordan's playoff scoring lead, his all-time. Record for total points in the playoffs, because I don't think that the Lakers are going to be playing many playoff games this year or next. So MJ's still got that one, I suppose. But it just I can just see him just firing away all season to basically almost pad his stats almost, while the Lakers just lose a lot of games. Because maybe it'll be different when Nick Young gets back and they get it together a bit. But yeah, I think it's going to be a very tough year for the Lakers. There might be some spectacular Kobe moments to keep them entertained, but if winning's what they want, and certainly that's what Lakers fans have come to expect with all the success they've had, yeah, tough year, I would say.
Yeah, that's for sure. Right now, don't see anyone. Did you mention that today's like the fact that he'd taken two more shots than the rest of the starters?
Oh, I hadn't yet, but I mentioned in the forum, yeah, 37 shots were two more than the rest of the Lakers starters combined. Yeah.
So, that just is to show that right now they don't really have anyone. And there was some moments like where Jeremy Lin was just atrocious in some offensive moments where he almost had a moment where he did like a Brendan Knight today.
Yeah,
sort of got himself in the air and just didn't know what to do with it.
Had some really ugly shots, yeah. Absolutely. So I mean, it's not that the Lakers have got a great team to... I don't think you could really reasonably set the bar very high, but yeah, it's been a pretty rough start for them. Again, the worst start since the Minneapolis days.
Yeah, if they get anywhere like 400 or 40% win season, I'll be very surprised. Right now, I'm thinking they probably get... We'll say they probably get about 25 to 35 wins this season. I don't think they're going to get very much at all.
I could actually... I mean, that's not a bad guess. Depending on how bad they start, because they've got a pretty rough schedule coming up. Six out of seven games, I think, in the next or six out of the next eight against playoff teams. So, or teams that were in the playoffs last year. So, yeah, it could be a really really rough start for them over the first in the month of November. I could see them, if they really really stink it up, if they really can't get things going at the start, a complete collapse, maybe less than 20 wins, which seems incomprehensible,
yeah,
for a team like the Lakers.
Yeah, you know, that whole that prestige and pride behind that team and name and that. Yeah, it's going to be a rough one. One thing I did find interesting, I think there was an article, you know, saying Kobe about Kobe saying that he bleeds gold or purple and gold. What about that few years ago where he was demanding a trade and that?
Yeah, I guess we all have our moments and
yeah.
And I think the frustrations came to a head, but yeah, we can look at that, and but yeah, it is kind of funny to look back and think, well, there was a time when you wanted out, you can spin that any way you want now, but you were there. People asked you directly, do you want to trade? And you said, yeah, right now I want to trade, or worse to that effect, you know, pretty much that. So yeah, do you think? I don't think they ever would trade him. I don't think they really can trade him. In fact, I think he's still got that grandfathered no trade clause in his contract, so it's probably a moot point anyway. I do wonder about it, though, because there's been this talk of how free agents don't want to go there because, you know, they feel alienated by him or whatever, and the Lakers just kind of riding it out and letting him have his glory and letting the fans enjoy him for the next couple of years, and then they'll rebuild for proper, rebuild for real when they can actually make a pitch where he's not there to get in the way of it, I suppose, in many respects. But, you know, it's funny that he's kind of holding, as much as he's done for the franchise, is now kind of, in a way, holding them back.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of fans are blaming it on Nash's contract and all that stuff. And,
well, I mean, that's an unfortunate situation.
Yeah.
It doesn't help. No.
But still, I mean,
I don't think Nash asked to have a serious nerve injury that's probably ended his career.
Yeah. So it's a little bit harsh in terms of that. And, you know, they shouldn't have got him to carry other people's bags, I guess. So.
Not a rookie. I mean,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
What's he doing fetching the donuts? Jeez.
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely a rough season for the Lakers. Maybe they turn around. Maybe I'm being overly pessimistic with the 0-5 start. Well, pessimistic, it's, to be honest, I'm not a Lakers fan, so it doesn't bug me too much if they do lose. But in my projections, maybe I am being a bit too dire. But we might see the first real collapse of the Lakers this season, which again seems so strange because they've just been able to rebuild over the years and not had these. You know, to see them miss the playoffs, it's not something they've done very often, and certainly not too often, if ever, in consecutive years, at least in the modern era. So
yeah, I think it's only been about...
It's unusual, definitely unusual to see.
Well, they did have that small period just after the Shaq left and that, when he went to Miami and that, where they did have those few years out and before getting Pau Gasol.
Yeah, but they were still in the playoffs. They missed the playoffs that first season he was gone, and then they were back in the year after.
True.
So, I mean, they've at least been a playoff team for most of their tenure in the league, so
true.
For them to be in a lottery a couple of years in a row is just... And speaking of which, their lottery pick, Julius Randle, out for the season with a broken leg.
Yeah.
That was brutal.
I didn't see it, but I imagine it was pretty noticeable when it was broken, and maybe not as bad as poor George's.
Yeah.
But still.
But, yeah, injuries have been a bit of a problem earlier on in the season. Rose, of course, Randall's out for the season. Nash was ruled out before the season began. The Thunder are having terrible luck.
Yeah.
Durant was ruled out before the season began. And it's actually come out, did you see today, that he said that, yes, Paul George's injury during the scrimmage actually did play a big part.
Yeah. I saw that just actually a few minutes ago, just before we started recording. I saw that in Real GM, so... Yeah, I figured that, but I also figured for him it was also his sneaker contract as well. You know, he was sort of having a decision between either Under Armour or Nike and all that stuff at the time, so I figured that was one part of the decision. But yeah, I figured the injury was definitely a main one as well.
But the injuries keep piling up for the Thunder. Westbrook is out. Reggie Jackson is now out. Perry Jones is out. That's... For what was expected to be a decent season for them is very quickly going down the tubes as well. So it's unfortunate to see as well. You don't like to see teams ravaged by injuries, especially the teams you expect to be the elite teams with the elite players that have got the great matchups and the marquee matchups with the other great teams in the league. So hopefully a speedy recovery for all concerned. Durant is on the mend, as I understand it. But, yeah, some tough luck for the Thunder.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, and yeah, they're currently 1-4 at the moment, so they're having a tough run. Yeah, it's a weird start to the season, like with so many big name prestigious teams struggling. It's teams that we thought would do well, you know, with the hype and all that stuff, just given its first week and just haven't lived up to the hype, I guess. So But yeah, that
early
that,
days, I suppose. Yeah. But yeah,
and I think we'll use that quote from last year that, you know, the bad teams don't know they suck yet.
Yes. Well, you remember the Philadelphia Sixers. So the Sixers were 3-0 to begin last season.
Yeah.
With some impressive wins. They're 0-4 this year. That seems more in line with what we expected.
Yeah, that's true. they know they suck this year.
they're trying to suck this year.
Yeah.
But the Magic are 0-4. Lakers 0-5. So there's Leftos are 0-3. So we got 1, 2, 3. We've got 4 teams without a win so far, and we have the Warriors are undefeated as of recording, as are the Grizzlies and Rockets. So we have 3 teams that are
undefeated
so far. When's the speculation going to begin that one of them is going to be 72-10? Yes, a little bit too early, guys. But you know somewhere, if they get to about 8-0, the talk is going to begin.
Yep.
But, yeah. Call us when you're like 48-2 at the All-Star break. Then we might be able to get the 72-10 there. But and also just to clarify that the game I was talking about before about in NBA Live 15, the Thunder Clippers game. That was actually a game they lost 93-90, but the big moment has you hit a three with Serge Ibaka and then win in overtime. So it's one of the rewrite history games. Oh. So again, very, very cool concept this year, the big moments.
Nice.
So just looking at what else we have, I think we've covered most of what we were going to talk about the NBA this week. As you said, certainly an interesting first week with some teams not doing too badly or doing worse than we expected. The Bucks are at 500, so... They did win that game despite Brandon Knight's mid-air gap. actually didn't have that bad game either.
Yeah.
I
do suggest, like, for the community, if you get to see the Vine clip of it, and that is absolutely hilarious. So try and have a look out for it. Brandon Knight's little mishap today. It's just, a good laugh.
Absolutely. I just looking, the Hornets are 1-3. They had that dramatic win in the first game, which had Michael Jordan pumping his fist on the sideline. Not so. Three losses in a row since then, so not exactly the best start for Charlotte, but we'll see how, as we will with all the teams, how things shape up, because, as they say, the NBA regular season is a marathon, not a sprint. And there are certainly some teams who are not doing a lot of sprinting at the moment, the Sixers, the Lakers, but the season is young. But I think we're very close to wrapping up this episode, Ben.
Yeah, a nice short and sweet one this week.
But did want to finish on a kind of a sad but also a very heartwarming and positive story in its own way. I was made aware of this watching NBA. They mentioned NBA game the other day on ESPN, or it was through League Pass, it was an ESPN broadcast. They mentioned Lauryn Hill, a young woman who's just starting out of college but has been diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor and been given at most 18 months to live and down to her final weeks, or so they say. And they petitioned the NCAA to move her college's game up so she'd actually be able to play play a college game. And they did very nobly move that up. And she made her debut and made the layup to open the game. And, it's definitely amidst what must be a very difficult time for her and her family, a nice story in the midst of a tragedy.
Yeah, and a lot of the WNBA players, I think, put their jerseys up or were auctioning off stuff. And a lot of the colleges as well, they were auctioning their jerseys with her number 22 on it.
That's right, yeah.
Definitely a good little community heartfelt story, and given in the sad circumstances upon which it has to happen and that, but very nice gesture. And, yeah, she scored 4 points as well as the opening basket, which is great.
Yeah, and it's one of those moments in sports that's, it's corny, cliche to say, but it's kind of what sports are all about sometimes, you know, the competition, the camaraderie, the community, all the good stuff that we do get cynical these days about a lot of things, especially online. But it was a nice moment. It was, I watched the video I was smiling when I saw it. It was a really cool moment in basketball.
Yeah.
But I thought we'd finish on that one this week. A nice story. to go out on. We will be back next week, of course, to talk more about the NBA and, of course, the NBA video games that we all love so much. If you enjoyed listening to us this week or any week, we encourage you to subscribe to us on iTunes, or you can keep streaming on the NLSC, of course. As long as you're listening, we're happy to deliver you a show. You can follow us on Twitter at the NLSC, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. The NLSC itself is nba-live.com. But that is going to do it for this week. Thank you again for joining us. I am Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And we'll chat to you next week.
See you next week.